So as we sing that song, I think of the one, Walking in Sunlight, All of My Journey. Does it mean that we have no troubles since I got saved? Lots of troubles. But you know, it's interesting when we fly and it can be raining, it could be so dark, and yet just a little ways up when you go up in the air in a plane, the sun's still shining. We sing that song, we are sure the sun is shining just behind the cloud. So this sunlight doesn't mean I never have troubles come into my life, but I know the sun is still shining there. Last week we talked about mercy, treating an offender better than justice would allow. I'd like to still look at that subject a little bit today, because here's what I would like to look at is how do I dish out mercy? How do I give it out? Because there's so many scriptures that tell me, blessed are the merciful, they'll obtain mercy. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father in heaven is. And what if this were my response to an offender? You just better be glad that I'm saved. What does that mean? That means I'm thinking about what I would do to you if I hadn't crossed that line and said I would live for the Lord. I think it's going to take a little more than that. What kind of a response would that be to an offender? Is that going to say, you know, to draw them to the Lord? I was singing to this song, number 249. It says, are you adorning the doctrine? In a time where I have been, an offense has come to me, and it's time for me to do something about it. Are you adorning the doctrine and making attractive the way, honoring Christ by your actions and by the words that you say? Are you, my brother and sister, proving that the Bible is true, that when adversity comes, I can still have victory through it? And then it says, if you're adorning the doctrine, its beauties your soul will array. And showers of grace will be given. And I thought about this, that little word, if, is if it happens to be working in my life, if I'm adorning the doctrine, its beauties my soul will array. You know, it is okay for me to go to the Lord when someone has offended me, when it is time for me to dish out mercy. It's okay for me to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to thank you for the change that salvation has brought into my life. Lord, I know what I would have been in the past when these offenses come. But Lord, I want to tell you, I am thankful for the change that you have brought to me. We don't tell that to the other. We don't tell the other person. I tell you what, if you just knew the old me, you would not have done what you just did. But I think about the verse, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are going to pass away, and all things are going to become new. And there is a song that we sing sometime, thanks to Calvary, yes, things are not the same the way they used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. Salvation causes things to be different in our life than they used to be. How I would handle situations in the past and leave with letting them know what I thought about it, now it can be different. Now when I meet the offender, I can love mercy. I love mercy when it's shown to me, and I want to love mercy when it is extended to others. So I'd like to look at something today. If we go over to Luke in the second chapter and in the 14th verse or 13th verse, suddenly there was with the angel, this is when they're proclaiming Jesus to the world, with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And that's what I believe the Lord would like for me to have throughout my life, is goodwill toward other men. Is that goodwill just in how they treat me? No, to be able to have goodwill no matter how I'm treated. So if I could put a title to what I want to look at today, It would be love in action. How do I take this mercy, this love that I need to have for others, and be able to dish it out, hand it out to someone? So I want us to go to Luke in the 6th chapter and in the 31st verse. You know, this is a good place for me to start in my relationship with other people. As you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. That's the first guideline for me in my life and in my dealings, my relationships with others. So it goes on down in the 32nd verse. If you love them which love you, what thank have you? Sinners love those that love them. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do the same. If you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? Sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much. But this 35th verse starts showing me how to have love in action. Love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. Ye shall be children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. And then here's the challenge for us today. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. And there's another, it almost is the same way, but there's a little bit different. In Matthew 5 and 44, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the just and the unjust. And it goes on down in the 48th verse, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So this morning I look at all the scriptures that give me some direction for how to have this love in action. It's easy for me to have love in action to someone that loves me. But to be able to have it to someone that is opposed to me, I believe this verse was even given in Sunday school this morning. And it's a good guideline for us. It's over in Romans in the 12th chapter. And right toward the end of it, 19th verse. Dearly beloved, all these things that we're reading today is instruction for me. It's good for me to be able to store these away. Thy word, O Lord, I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And maybe not just so much not sin against thee, but Lord, that I would have the right attitude when things come against me. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. It is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So I put that in his hands. And then this next verse is my guideline. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Is that the reason I do it? Boy, I'm going to do this so it really causes him to feel bad. No, that's just the result of me doing it with the right attitude. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Singing of the word compassion, it needs to go right along with the mercy that I extend to others. It says compassion is a mixed compound of love and sorrow, a painful sympathy. And there's a verse of a song that says, O write thy law of tenderness and of compassion in my breast, till heart and voice and hand reach out to help the weary and distressed. That this would be what comes out of me after he has written this law of tenderness and of compassion in my breast. And I look at all these and I say, Lord, help me. I can extend mercy to someone that has not done me much wrong, but will I be able to show love in action to those who have been an offense to me? And I was thinking of, again, of the Good Samaritan story. When the religious people have seen a need and they walked on by, you know, maybe they said, somebody will come along. We have some business that we need to attend to. This is in Luke in the 10th chapter. and they passed by on the other side. But I think Jesus used the, he went on to let this guy know it was a Samaritan that stopped. And I believe he did that because, what does it say? The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. They would not associate with them. But yet, when mercy was needed, the Samaritan was the one that extended mercy to this man. And it goes on down where they looked on him, passed by on the other side. In the 33rd verse, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. You know, not knowing this man, there's nothing that he will do to help me out in the future, but there's something inside that reaches out with a desire to help him. Went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, he gave them to the host, and said, take care of him, whatever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Which one was a neighbor? And you know, this person was a Jew himself, and he didn't even respond with saying, you know what, it was the Samaritan that did it. He said in the 37th verse, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said, go and do likewise. So I look at these instructions for me in 2025 of how to be able to put, give mercy back and show it with love and action. In Matthew 22:37, Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Not just the person that lives on the, in the street next to me, the house next to me, but all those that I come in contact with. The scripture starts giving me instruction about how I am to be able to show that love to them. And here is a verse in Romans the 5th chapter, because it tells us that we really need to be like, there's something flowing into us. This is in 5:5. Hope maketh not ashamed. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So I want to be a vessel that God's love, his mercy, flows into me. But it is ready to flow out to others that are in need. Others that maybe I don't even realize that they need it. I just see this is somebody that has offended me. This is somebody that has done me wrong. And yet to be able to have this love flow back out again. There's another verse in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Because these are instructions for me. Whoso, 3:17. Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, I want to take these kind of verses, and in a busy time where I'm working every day, I'm doing things, and I'm building up something for myself, that I realize, you know what, there's other things that are real valuable also. And this one says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Having love that is in action showed out to others around me. There's a verse in James, the 2nd chapter. What doth it profit, the 14th verse? If a man, though a man have faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, one of you say to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things that are needful to the body. What doth it profit? So I look at this, and I look at examples in the Bible where someone, without ever realizing their story would be passed down to us, they just live their life having love in action. A story of that was when we read about Dorcas in Acts in the 9th chapter. You know, I don't believe she ever intended for her story to be told again, for anybody to be able to notice it. There was, 36 verse, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is by interpretation called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works. You know, and I don't think she was out advertising, I want y'all to know what I did last week. She was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And she died. And when Peter came to the house, there was widows there that were showing, here's what she made for me when I was in need. Just here's samples of what she has done. And I look at the contrast of that, and Jesus gives us a warning in the 6th chapter of Matthew. Because there were some people that also were giving some alms deeds. In 6:1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when second verse, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say, they have their reward. And I was looking at that. Don't sound a trumpet in the streets. And it said, you know what? That was literally done. Someone would go out and actually blow a trumpet. I'm advertising to everyone here in town, if you're poor and in need, I've got some money that I want to give to you. Well, it became more than just calling the poor. It also became a status symbol. I want everyone to be able to hear. What does this one say? Don't sound a trumpet before you like the hypocrites do in the synagogues and streets, that they may have glory of men. That's their reward. Look at this third verse. Here's for us. When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what the right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So I look at these, don't let your left hand know, don't advertise, here's what I'm doing to help somebody, just quietly do it, because what I really want is a reward from the Lord, a reward at last of making heaven my home. Love in action. It's easy to take a look at what I have and say, you know what, it's not enough to be able to help with this problem. There's a couple places in where God, Jesus is saying, one of them is Mark the 6th chapter. Had a group of people has been there listening to him, and it's time for them to go get something to eat. In Mark 6, because sometimes this can be my attitude, I can't help as much as somebody else could. 35 of Mark 6. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away. You know, some of these other places said, if you have something, give it to them. Don't say, I don't have enough to be able to help. What they're doing here is saying, you know what, send them away, that they may go in the country round about and in the villages and buy themselves bread. He answered and said to them, you give them to eat. And they say to him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to them? He saith unto them, how many loaves have you? And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. You know, a lot of times we can look at a need and we say, this is what I have to give to it. And that's not near enough to be able to take care of the situation. But I think what's really valuable for me is to realize, you know what? Let me just give the little bit that I can give. I can look and see there are other people that are much more able to reach out and help others than I feel like I can. But for me to do the best I can, there is another one. There's a song that we sing sometimes. Little is much if the Lord is in it. That's what I need to be able to do is tell the Lord, you know what, Lord, I'm willing to do this to help this person. But really, I need you to go along with it or it won't be blessed at all to be able to be a real benefit to them. There was another place over in John, the 6th chapter, where this happened. It gave another account, 6:9. And he's, again, they don't have enough. One of the disciples says this in the 9th verse. There's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves. And what did he say? 2 small fish. I just want to stress to you, Lord, there's not near enough here. You know, when we're usually fishing and the fish got away and we're telling the story to others, it was a really big one. And it probably really seemed that way to us. You know, they're looking at this situation and he's asking, what do you have? And here's what they say. We got 5 barley loaves and it's 2 small fish. That means it's not even going to be enough to help. They could have been big. What are they among so many? And I want to be able to look. This is really for me. What difference can I make? And if I'm not careful, I'll say not much. And so I don't do anything. But there's a story, and you probably have heard it. Maybe it's told in different ways. But it has stressed to me something. It says there was a morning after a seacoast storm. And a boy was walking along the beach, and there's starfish that are washed up on the sand. And they have a short time to get back in the water again before they die. And it said he would just walk along the shore, picking them up and throwing them back in the water. And said he passed this old man that looked at him and said, "Boy, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm throwing these back in. They're going to die if I don't." And he said, "Boy, there are thousands of those washed up from that storm last night. What can you do to make a difference with that many?" And it said he reached down and he got one more and he threw it in the water and he said, "I made a difference with that one right there." You know, sometimes we can look at the huge picture and say there's not much that I can do. Or I can say, you know what, I could help this one right here if the Lord would help me. I want to be able to have that in my life. Because there are some, you know, I don't have to help everybody. I don't think the rich man had to help everybody. But if we look over in Luke 16 at his story, Luke 16 and 19, because you know, so often I get hung up with just looking at this one, that the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes being in torments. And I think it's going to be more than just me helping the poor and then making heaven my home. But there is some instruction for me. In the 19th verse, "There was a certain rich man clothed in purple, fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There was a beggar named Lazarus." Now this, maybe 5 words here, 6 words, "which was laid at his gate." You know, if Lazarus would have been on the other side of town and they never knew anything about each other, if this would have never been put in the picture. But what it's telling us is, here's a man that has everything. Here's a beggar at his gate full of sores. And not just laid at his gate, but he's desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. You know, Lazarus wasn't telling him, "Look, you owe me to be able to eat as good as you eat. I want the best food brought out here." What he's saying is, "Do you have anything left over that you could give me?" I look at this story with the subject today of love in action. I'm not responsible for somebody way on the other side of town that I'll never meet. But may I, this is not so much with just feeding somebody either, but may I have a heart that is open and sensitive to someone in need. It may be as simple as meeting someone at the grocery store door and having a pleasant word to them, when I really could just walk on in and y'all go do whatever you want to do. You know, we're looking at not huge things. It wasn't a huge thing for the rich man with Lazarus laid at his gate. You know, the rich man wouldn't have even had to bring the food out himself. He could have sent a servant, but he had a heart like the Samaritan did. I just looked on this situation and I had compassion, and I want to be able to do something to help him. So I say for myself, maybe I can't help everybody, but those people that come into my life that are at my gate, that maybe just have a sorrow, maybe they just have some emotional need, that I will be there to be able to help them. There's a verse over in Ephesians. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, And in the 31st verse, I think this verse, this 32nd verse was also given today. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So I got that moved out of my life. And this makes me think about the man. It says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, that spirit walks about in dry places seeking rest and finding none. And he says, I'm going to go back and see about the place that I used to live in. And said he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. I like to think of this story right here, where it tells us, it warns us some things. I'm emptied out of something, but I've got to put something back in it again. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So I put those things out, and now this next verse tells me what to fill it back up with. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, that little verse, that 32nd verse right there, would save me so much trouble in my life when I am offended, when offenses come to me. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. This doesn't even talk about what he's done to me. This is what I'm doing back. Forgiving one another. You know the places that we find where Peter asked Jesus, how often should I forgive? What about if I did it 7 times in one day? And Jesus says, not just to 7 times, but to 70 times 7. You just have a heart of forgiveness. That's my part to be able to do. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And then he gives us an example. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The verse says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love that flows one to another. And I don't think that's just the people in our congregation, but that it's ready to flow to anyone that is in need. And I say, Lord, help me. And we have a number 253. I'd like for us to sing that in closing. But it says in verse number 2. When the heart is sad and lonely, and the eyes with tears o'erflow, gentle words and deeds of kindness will fall like sunbeams on the snow. It says, let us help our fallen brother, lift him gently by the hand, speaking words of cheer and comfort, pointing to a better land. In this world of toil and sorrow, many hearts are full of care. Let us live to serve our master and each other's burdens bear. Kind and loving to each other. Gentle words to all we meet. Thus we follow Christ our Savior, proving all his service sweet. So when I look at how do I have love in action, that it flows out to others. We had mentioned this week about instead of afternoon service today, that we would go to, I call it nursing home, but it might be a retirement center. But a place where I think it would be a good exercise for me to be able to say, how can I show love in action? And, you know, we really need when we go that the Lord would go along and help us, that it not be just wasted time for us or for them, but not just today, but throughout my life, that I would be more sensitive. You know, there's needs around me. If I will slow down and look at them and say, Lord, what can I do to be a help here? That I would not be like the disciples and say, I just got this little bit of bread. And I want to tell you, those fish are so small. They're just not going to be able to do anything. But to be able to just say, Lord, here's what I do have. And if you want to use it, I'll give it to you to use. I say, Lord, help me to be able to understand better how to have love in action. And not just what to say, if you do good to them that do good to you, what thank have you? If you are helping somebody that has just helped you, but where it really comes into is if your enemy does this, we're going to need the Lord's help then. Because you know, the best thing that I want to do then is to distance myself from that situation. But to be able to be in a place where I say, Lord, is there any way that I can be a help in these places? May the Lord help us each one. Maybe we can stand and sing that song.